Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Hello.
Hub Arkish.
His expertise in football is second to none.
670 The Score's senior football expert.
You're talking to one of the great techno boobs of all time.
Executive editor of Pro Football Weekly.
This is probably too much information, but I always keep my phone in my back pocket. I just feel like my ass is buzzing permanently at this point. It's crazy.
Shaw media analyst and sideline reporter for Westwood One.
We've got Joe calling in from Elgin.
I just want to say that you are so underrated. You're fantastic. You really are. You've got a great opinion. I would listen to you all day.
Hub Arkish.
I'd love to poke you. I'm not going to now.
With Dan Bernstein and Layla Rahimi on 670 The Score. The Score.
A lot of football news going on up at Halas Hall right now. Hub Arkish is on Twitter at @Hub_Arkish. He joins us on the Score Hotline presented by Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book. Well, Hub, it's been a busy day so far. The piece of news most jumping out is that of the immediate future of Khalil Mack. There was a report that he would be going on IR to rest his injured foot. The Bears pushed back, said that decision has not been made yet. I don't know if they got scooped and they're just trying to wait on it, but what's happening there?
Well, I know what you know at this point, which is Ian Rappaport, I believe, had the report. Matt Nagy has said that is not the case. There's no decisions being made. He's wrapping up his conference right now. And so we have to wait and see. You know, it seems a little off that you go from, you know, not missing a minute of action to going directly to IR as opposed to taking a week or two off and not committing to missing three games. But at this point, we just have to wait and see. I think it's obviously a given that he won't practice again this week, but no clarity as to whether he's still week at a time or they're talking about sitting him down.
Well, that's a huge window to try to figure out his availability, and it makes you wonder if there's perhaps multiple possible diagnoses or like treatments with what we could be seeing out of his injury.
Yeah, I mean, you know, part of what I should know, and I don't, to be honest with you, is whether the bye week counts as one of those 3 weeks. I believe it does not. And so with the bye week coming after these next two games, why you would put him on IR and turn it into a four-week situation instead of a three-week situation, unless it's just, you know, absolutely a horrible injury and he shouldn't be playing through it at all, I don't know. So all we can do is wait at this point. But I think the one thing that we can know is that this Sunday against the 49ers is certainly the Bears' biggest game of the year to date. It is arguably the biggest game of the season, and it looks like Khalil Mack will either be quite limited or possibly not available at all. And with Robert Quinn still on the COVID list and Akeem Hicks fighting that groin injury, that's something that the Bears just really can't afford right now.
So Larry Borum is back, and I guess there's a 21-day practice window before official reinstatement from PUP, but they could shorten that, right? He could play this week.
Yeah, no, I mean, if he were to go out there and practice and look at 90, 95, 100%, again, particularly not knowing where Elijah Wilkinson is at with his COVID stint, as of this morning, you know, Matt said that there's nobody else coming off the list, but that's a day-to-day thing. You just don't know. So, yeah, you get up to 3 weeks, but he could play Sunday if they think he's ready, and I'm sure that's what they want to see in practice today and tomorrow.
Yeah, other notes I'm seeing about the injured reserve, Matt Nagy saying that David Montgomery and Jermaine Ifedi, unfortunately, are not coming off of IR today. So it sounds like Khalil Herbert's the dude on Sunday.
Yeah, I don't think there's any question about that. They also do have Damian Williams back, of course. And so, you know, we didn't see a lot of Williams last Sunday. Part of that is because Khalil Herbert is playing so well, and part of it is because they didn't get him back until Saturday. He hadn't practiced all week. But I think that they feel, you know, fairly good about the balance they can get from Williams and Herbert, at least for another week, maybe another 2 weeks. And I'm sure they're going to be very careful with David Montgomery. Remember, you know, we heard originally 4 to 5 weeks. Just because you've had 3 weeks on IR doesn't mean you're ready. But if they can keep Herbert and Williams healthy, they're at least in a little better shape there than they are with this defense and all that's happening in their pass rush.
We should mention Hub's going to take your phone calls in just a bit. So if you want to jump the line on that, get yourself lined up, you can. 312-644-6767. I hope this isn't a premature question, Hub, but with the way Khalil Herbert is playing and with David Montgomery being injured, help me out with how these contracts line up timing-wise. And at some point, the fungibility of running backs and the total amount, especially with them pressed against the cap with so much bad money, is it possible that they end up committing to Herbert because of financial arrangements, or maybe Montgomery would draw more of a premium at this point? I hate to go down that road, but they're going to have to make some really difficult decisions.
Well, they will at some point, but I don't think it's a factor now. If you're not a first-round pick, you start with a four-year rookie deal. And so David Montgomery is under contract this year and next year as a third-round draft choice. That all got slotted in. He's not going to be a cap anchor in any way. Herbert, you know, even less, because you got him under control for 3 more years after this at reasonable rates. So now getting a longer term deal done with David Montgomery, which you would assume you would want, and I would think that that in an ideal world they would have been thinking about towards the end of this year. They don't have that much cap space. They don't have enough cap space to be doing, you know, long term deals right now. But you certainly would have wanted to look at that in the off season. Herbert's arrival may allow them to at least not, you know, rush into that. But I think in today's NFL, guys, you know, you almost need a 1-2 punch like Montgomery and Herbert. So I think they see that as a strength going forward, and there won't be any immediate financial pressure, at least until next season.
We had a lot of interesting information from Jason Peters, who spoke very candidly yesterday, giving informative injury updates. He also talked about the situation that happened right before the game on Sunday regarding the tackle situation and how there wasn't practice reps that happened. What were your takeaways from everything that Peters had to say about the offensive line?
Well, I think that he obviously was right about Larry Borum. Now, I'd be a little more careful, you know, with his comments on Tevin Jenkins, because you're talking about post-surgical, and so that's a different story. We'll see if he's, you know, close. I think Jason indicated maybe you could see him right after the bye. And then as far as what happened with Lechavius Simmons, I mean, I love talking to Jason Peters. You know, he's frank, he's honest, he's an adult, and he's impressive. But you kind of knew that. I mean, Simmons was the third string right tackle and barely getting a jersey on Sunday. Elijah Wilkinson had stepped in for Jermaine Ifedi, and you had no reason to assume that Wilkinson was going down. Simmons has been playing right tackle since he got here last year. It's not like he isn't supposed to know the position, but he didn't have first team reps. And so, you know, I suppose that can be part of the excuse, but the better answer is that he's apparently not ready to play right tackle in the NFL right now. That wasn't about just not having enough reps in practice last week. And it was intriguing again. Alex Barr stepped in and certainly didn't hurt you, you know, and so having that guy has just been a godsend for them. But in the case of Peters, that's why we love talking to him as often as possible, because, you know, he's an adult. He's not worried about anything. He knows who he is. He's not going to make big mistakes, and he didn't give away any trade secrets, but it's refreshing to actually get some answers.
We're talking with Hub Arkish on Sports Radio 670 The Score, this segment brought to you by iParkit Parking App. Hub, I had a conversation yesterday, sort of a long and involved conversation with a trusted NFL source who has strong feelings about Matt Nagy, and who told me this. He said, Matt Nagy is Brad Childress. He said everything about the arc of Brad Childress's coaching career, everything about the Achilles heel of being an offensive mind without an offensive plan. He said an offensive mind who wants to collect all these plays, someone from the Andy Reid tree who is blessed with an ability to understand X's and O's and to collect plays, but was never given the ability to put them together in a way that made sense. And it was insistent that if you watch, whatever happened to Brad Childress will eventually be what happens to Matt Nagy. Do you agree?
Well, I don't know. Let me just first take one real quick step backwards. When I'm saying that Jason Peters is an adult, I'm not suggesting the other 52 Bears aren't. I'm just using that as kind of a compliment for Jason Peters, as, you know, to a guy you can listen to and trust. There's a lot of adults in the Bears locker room. As far as your question, Dan, I can tell you categorically that there are no similarities between Brad Childress and Matt Nagy personality-wise and how they carry themselves and who they are and their coaching styles. Now, that's not apparently what your source was talking about, and that I can't really say. You know, I don't know. I mean, he was the offensive coordinator that last year in Kansas City, and so I'm sure that he was heavily involved in the design of a lot of those game plans that were very successful. Whether he was constantly being overruled or micromanaged, or, you know, Andy Reid's stamp was all over him too, I really can't say. But it you know, there certainly is a possibility based on what we've seen so far. And it is worth remembering that Brad Childress, before he failed, was a fairly successful head coach. I believe he was the head coach of that Vikings team with Brett Favre that was, you know, 40 seconds away from a Super Bowl. So, whether the similarities are there or not specific to what you described, it's certainly quite possible it's not something I could really say one way or the other.
Hub, there's been talk about Chris Tabor being able to be the coach as acting head coach if Matt Nagy is unable to test negative twice this week. Is there any discussion of who would help out Chris Tabor if necessary, if he is pulled into coaching duties on Sunday?
Well, yeah, he does have a full-time assistant special teams coach. I'm terribly embarrassed because I should remember his name, and it's escaping me at the moment. But I don't think, you know, Layla, that's not... on the list of things I'd be worried about for Sunday, they'll be covered there. And Matt has already described that this is like war room scenarios that they run through, that they've even practiced this and that they know what is going to happen. And by the way, you know, much like, even though it didn't work out so well, much like Matt Nagy was, you know, running the offense and calling plays while being the head coach, it's even less of a responsibility and doable for Chris Tabor to oversee that as well. So if that is necessitated for Chris to be the acting head coach on Sunday, I wouldn't expect it to have a huge impact on the special teams coaching.
We are going to take calls with Hub coming up in our next segment. Our phone number is 312-644-6767. We're also going to update you on everything else that is going on in Chicago sports today, including the Bulls' efforts to find a way to stabilize the non-shooting hand of Zach LaVine. We'll see how far down that road they go before they decide there needs to be some sort of surgical intervention, but for now they're going to continue to try. So we'll update you on that as events warrant. But next up, Hub and you on The Score. We're talking football with Hub Arkish, as we do on Wednesdays here on the Bernstein and Rahimi Show. 312-644-6767. Now is the time when we turn Hub over to you to talk Bears and NFL, and we will begin with one of our favorites. We'll see if his sound is messed up today or not. Frank in Oak Park is on The Score.
Hope I'm coming through loud and clear there.
You are.
Okay, great. Hub, I have an emotional attachment to teams with a lot of ex-Bears. Therefore, I was a little upset when a banged-up Brown squad down a starting tackle and playing a third- or fourth-string running back tore into the Bronco defense for 182 yards on the ground. Checking the depth charts, when Von Miller left the game with a leg injury, the Broncos had none of the four starting linebackers from week two. Worse, some eight of this group have lost starts and six logged time on IR this year. This toll forced the team to trade for Ram backup linebacker Kenny Young on Monday. I assume he became a starter the moment he left the plane and stepped out of the Denver tarmac. Hub, if guys like Bradley Chubb can't get back on the field this year, a defense-dependent Broncos squad could finish well south of 500. What's the outlook for Denver's damaged backers? If it's bad, will Vic Fangio be putting his house on the market come January?
Well, there's pressure on Vic. There's no question about that. It's only year three, you know, and you'd like to think that he'll get that fourth year. The hot start was certainly a bit of a mirage because, you know, you look at who they beat and everybody else has beat them too. So, yes, pressure is mounting on Vic Fangio. They continue to have organizational structure issues there. John Elway is still in charge, but you know, ownership is still in flux, so it's really hard to predict that far out. Frank, I what I don't know is if that Bronco defense can get healthy and play better, you know, because that's certainly what you would expect a Vic Fangio football team to do. So I think it's fair to say the pressure on Matt Nagy here in Chicago is not as great as most fans present it. It's real. There's no question about that. But you know, we have no idea where ownership is. And Nagy's record, forgetting whether you like how he got there or not, is not kind of the record you get fired with. And yet there's tremendous pressure on him. And I think for different reasons, but in some respects, Vic is probably in the same spot. There's tremendous pressure. But there could be cooler heads that say, wait a minute, the guy hasn't had a fair chance. At least he gets his fourth year.
Next up for Hub is Roger in Broadview on the Score. Hey, Roger.
Oh, hey, guys. I was wondering, we spend way too much money on defense and nothing on offense. I'm going to go the opposite of Frank. We got everything on defense. We need some offense, especially a number one wide receiver. So I'm suggesting we trade Khalil Mack's money for Michael Thomas's money and even throw an Allen Robinson in there.
Because you want to get worse, or what do we? Yeah, I mean, I'm sorry. Yeah, I try not to be a smartass with this stuff, guys, but that's an awful idea. You know, number one, you do have a number one receiver in Allen Robinson with back-to-back 100-yard, you know, 100 catch seasons, and Khalil Mack is probably, if not the, still one of the two or three most important players on your team. You know, as far as the way the money is distributed, that's a function of where the superstar power is, and that's not a balance you want to see. But, you know, I think if I was going to spend money anywhere, I'd spend it on the offensive line before I started trying to spend it at wide receiver and taking it away from the pass rush. So your initial premise was good. Their spending is out of whack between defense and offense, but then you kind of lost me after there as, A, whether it needs to be corrected, and, B, if it does, I certainly wouldn't do it that way.
I know Olin will give you a big hug for saying you want to spend money with that particular personnel, that particular positional group, I should say. Frank in Lakeview, you're on Sports Radio 670 with Hub.
Yeah, hi. Hub, I miss you on Sundays. If you listen to talk radio all day long, everybody's after what I just said. And you kind of answered my question a little bit when you're talking to Frank from Oak Park. Mike, but I like to phrase it this way. You know, you have a decimated offensive line. You're backfield, your secondary is in terrible, you know, it's terrible shape. My question would be, you know that the old saying, you know, Belichick can beat you with his guys, and then Belichick can take your guys and beat you, whatever that, how that goes. So my question is, if you took a top 10 coach with the personnel that Nagy has, that the Bears have, regardless because of injury or bad drafting, which I don't believe, but, you know, it is what it is. Would that coach do any better than Nagy?
You know, Frank, in essence, what you're asking me is, do the Bears have better than 500 talent? You know, that's what we're really talking about right now. Matt is above 500, but when you take out the first year, he's right there, you know, within a game. And my answer is that I think the Bears have potential championship talent on defense. But when I look at the talent on the offense, I don't know that it is 500 talent. So I'm sure there's coaches that might get more out of it on a given Sunday, maybe over the course of a season. But they still need to get better. They may have the answer right now. You know, this is still going to be the topic all year long, no matter what happens. I love Justin Fields. I think that this is the best chance the Bears have had to have a franchise quarterback in the whatever it is now, 6 decades I've been, you know, covering the team. But he's not there yet, and he's a long way away, and that skews everything else. They definitely are not good enough at wide receiver. I think they have a 1 and a 2 in Allen Robinson and Darnell Mooney, but nothing else. They really, you know, Cole Kmet may become very good, but he's an average to, you know, maybe slightly better than average tight end right now. And we've been over the offensive line ad nauseum. So the answer is, yeah, sure. I'm sure there's a coach out there that might get a bit more, but could they get it more consistently over a 16, 17-week season? I'm not so sure.
We're talking football with Hub here at the bottom of the hour that is brought to you by DuckDuckGo. Northwest Side, our next stop. Here is Tony on the score.
Hey, Hub. I'm not a big fan of Thursday night football, but tomorrow night we got a pretty good game, the Cardinals and Packers. Could you offer a preview of the game? Thank you.
You know, Tony, I would love to, but I think it's going to be a short preview because if Davante Adams and Marquez Valdez-Scantling don't go, it seems like a mismatch. You know, if they had the Packers, to me, always, you know, it's kind of the opposite of what we just got to talk with the Bears. They always overproduce, you know, and that's because of Aaron Rodgers. But we know how much of that offense goes through Davante Adams. And having gone on the COVID list Monday, I don't know how he gets off it by tomorrow. So it looks like a mismatch to me right now. And I believe the game's in Arizona, isn't it, guys? I can't remember now. That said, as much as the Cardinals are for real, I don't think they're 7-0 for real. I think that there are still ways to attack them and to beat them. The defense has been vulnerable on occasion. The wicked pass rush where Chandler Jones had the 5 sacks in one game early hasn't been there. We know Aaron Rodgers can beat all of that. You know, the Packers defense, I still don't think it's certainly not Super Bowl level, championship level. But statistically, you look at them and they are holding teams in. Now you worry about Joe Barry, the defensive coordinator, potentially not being there. So I'm thrilled that we get a matchup like this on Thursday night. I'm really disappointed that the Packers obviously aren't going to be close to full strength. So I don't know how much of a read we're going to get on these two teams, depending on who the Packers are able to put on the field.
Here's Tom in Bolingbrook with Hub on Bernstein and Rahimi on the score.
Morning, everybody. My question centers around something that Sage Rosenfels had to say yesterday, whom I respect and really appreciate his opinion. He made it a point to really dive into the fact that the Bears were calling several plays that came up against zone defense when they really weren't devised for a zone defense. Where's the decision making there in regards to Justin Fields or whoever is the quarterback? Does he have the ability to, you know, get out of it, or is he just not at the point where he's seeing that it's zone coverage and that he should change the play?
Well, two things here. First of all, I also like and respect Rosenfels. I think he gives a lot of good information, has a lot of good things to say. But if we called him on it right now, he'd have to be the first one to admit he has no idea what those plays were designed for. He may not like them against his own defense, but that doesn't mean it isn't what the Bears wanted to run there. And so that now gets into a question of, you know, we're trying to evaluate and analyze their play calling. More to directly to your question, though, I believe, and you can't get this confirmed, but I'm 99% sure, I believe that what Justin has is a check with me in certain situations where there is one play that he can automatically switch to if he doesn't like what he sees. But I don't think there's any possibility that he's going to that line of scrimmage with full audibling capability, because they're still working on him being able to execute the first call that they give him.
Taking calls with Hub, and it's another Tom in Plymouth, Wisconsin. Hi, Tom. You're on the score.
Hi, guys. Thanks for taking my call. Hub, I just was wondering if you had any insights. It's a follow-up Matt Nagy question here. If you have any insight as to how well Matt Nagy's voice and coaching style is still resonating with the locker room. And I just ask that because, you know, from a distance as a fan, seem to be getting a little bit of mixed messages. You got some players that are saying the right things, but I don't know, almost sounds a little scripted from some guys. And and then you get other guys tweeting some things that maybe appear otherwise. So I just didn't know if you had any sense of how he's style is playing with the players right now.
You know, Tom, it is a great question, and I am with you. Last week, leading up to the Bucs game, there were a couple things I heard that nagged at me a little bit, that no pun intended, obviously. I hope it's obvious. But this is where it's just it's tougher than it's always been, because even without this extreme COVID protocol where we're back to Zoom conferences this week, we've been at Halas Hall, but we are not allowed in the locker room. I'm not complaining. I mean, it's part of the COVID issue, and I understand it. The point, though, is that the only time we talk to these guys is when the Bears, you know, bring out the players of their choosing one at a time, and they're in front of TV cameras. And so you don't really get any sense, you know. And you know, the handful of guys that I do have, you know, other communication with, they certainly indicate that they think it's one of the best locker rooms they've been in. They, you know, off the record, they say they love playing for Nagy, that he's a player's coach. You know, so I'm not hearing anything to suggest that he's losing his locker room. I'm not seeing anything to suggest that he's losing his locker room. I think one question that would be fascinating is you're never going to get a player to say, I prefer Andy Dalton, or I prefer Justin Fields, or for that matter, I prefer Nick Foles. But we have no sense of, at the time the switch was made, how many players were on board and how many weren't. Because I do find it interesting when we listen to, you know, former players who are now media analysts, that you get both opinions. You know, some were screaming, no, it's too soon. Others were saying, put the kid out there and let him play. Okay. And so while I know that Justin Fields is loved and respected in that locker room, I think that a lot of Nagy's grip on his team starts with, do his players believe that they've got the right guy playing quarterback? You know, because if not, then it's those players that take responsibility, at least on the offensive side, for how awful everything looks. And so it's a difficult dynamic to work with. I don't have any indication that is on the top five, top 10 list of problems right now.
Hub, real quick, 30 seconds or less, your thoughts about the Bears-Niners matchup.
I loved the Bears this Sunday in this particular game, just because of the circumstance they're walking into. But the Khalil Mack news, without knowing the status of Robert Quinn and Akeem Hicks, really shakes my confidence. So I'll stay with it for now. I think this is a must-win game, and the Niners set up as a team the Bears can beat. I expect they will. But if they got to go without Mack, Quinn, and Hicks, then kind of all bets are off.
Hub, thank you as always. Appreciate it.
All right, guys. Take care.
Thanks, Hub.
That's Hub Arkish. Do you think we can indulge ourselves with something that may actually bring a smile to our faces for the final segment of the show?
We need a palate cleanser.
That's well described, and we are going to get it, courtesy of a long-form, on-field answer from
the
Mike
Pirate.
Leach. Yeah, from Mike
Not
Leach.
Not Mike Leach, the Pirate.
He had thoughts about things. So if we're allowed to smile at the end of this before diving back into serious stuff and transition with Lawrence Holmes, you're going to want to keep it here on Bernstein and Rahimi on the Score.
Ah, cookie candy. Yeah, you know what? Six of one, half dozen of another, right?
No. Actually, unless you're talking about a Twix, which is a cookie inside a candy. And I had four of them the other night.
Four?
Well, four like individual ones. It was the double pack. It was the king size. So good. what's an appropriate serving of Twix, Rick Camp?
Well, just don't mislead people by saying you had four. That's four. A package to me is one.
Oh.
So like if you had Skittles, you would say like, yeah, I had a bag of Skittles. If I said I had, you know, two things of Skittles or whatever, that'd be two bags, which might have happened in the past.
I don't know what's going on.
Wait, is this that king size pack of Twix that you were talking about earlier?
Yeah, I ate one the other night, and Beth actually stole one, and then Jason stole one, so I bought another one for myself, and this one I didn't let anybody else have because I hid it.
Is that a bad sign? Is that like, do I have a problem if I'm hiding away, like a squirrel hiding his nuts? Yar! If I'm hiding away sweets,
sounds about right.
No.
Okay. I also ate half a cherry pie last night.
What?
Yeah.
This is very out of character for you.
I know. It's just lately. I don't know. I've made shake and bake.
Dan's
pork
like,
chops.
I don't eat for 40 hours a day.
It was weird. Yeah. I don't know. I made pork chops and I made my smashed potatoes with the sour cream and cheddar and scallion. And then I was still hungry. And then I had half a cherry pie and I sat down and I was just evening around the edges. Like I had to just keep making sure the edges were right. And then the pie was gone.
You'll truly be part of the fat community when you feel a little bit of shame for it and you go and you find the nearest dumpster and you hide the evidence because of that shame.
There really wasn't
kids
any
did
evidence.
That all the time. Like me and my brother did that growing up.
It's yeah, just bury it shame. Under the trash, right? Just cover some
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah, like come on. Meh. Unfortunately, Rick, a lot of the things you think are just I'm a fat things are just like a lot of people things. Like
yeah,
I
mean,
all
we
all
have
time.
Lots of fat people in this country.
I only
so.
Do stuff like that with like dead the dead hookers and drifters. You know, I don't worry about you know, like an aluminum pie tin. You know, it just doesn't really
yeah, but
you know,
the thing
rise
is,
to
when
that
you,
level of
when
shame
you find,
and hiding.
When you find those dumpsters, then they're not paying attention to the aluminum tin, so it's even better.
Good point. Good thinking. But that's not why you called. I know it's been a dark and difficult day, so let's finish it off with this. And this was on the field after a game. And this is who's he coaching now? Is it
Mississippi
I always
State.
Lose track. Mississippi State head coach Mike Leach, just on a digression about Halloween candy.
We talked about on the broadcast how you hate candy corn. What's your favorite Halloween
candy? Candy corn. I mean, I completely hate candy corn. When I was a kid, well, gummy bears, let's see. Gummy bears for sure.
Sour or regular?
The Haribo. It's got to be the Haribo ones. And then the other thing I like is when they used to have the sprees in a box outstanding. You have to go to the dollar store to find it, but I do. And then the latest, you know, there's still candy innovation, although a while back I found that Europe had better candy than we did overall because they have gummy everything. And then, you know, they have those Nerds clusters, which is new.
With the gummy.
Yeah, which is good. The Nerds clusters is good. And then if you go chocolate, probably Almond Joy.
Love it. Hopefully you'll get some of that next week.
Yeah, we'll see.
We'll see. with the band playing in the background.
With the and you know that that school song, by the way, is the same song at the end of Dirty Dancing, the Kellerman
yeah, which
song.
Is good.
I'd never seen Dirty Dancing, so I wouldn't have recognized it.
Well, but I'm just dying laughing because this is a serious post game interview after a win, and you're just sitting there listening to Mike Leach, be peak Mike Leach, by the way.
Are
also,
sprees,
what is this gummy everything business?
He loves, and I don't know what he means by the air bubble ones, but are sprees still made? Because that is a candy coated sweet tart, right? Because I remember them when they came out. Some you'd get like every fifth spree had like a weird chemically taste, and I think they've reformulated their coating to take that out finally. Because like one out of every five used to taste like cancer, and I think they've changed it.
A candy coated sweet tart is just candy coated candy.
No, no, it's very specific to that acidic sweet tart.
I used
tart.
To have sprees.
I like sprees. There's one of my all-time favorites in that regard, the chewy sweet tarts. They were giant. They're like the size of old silver dollars, and there'd be three in a pack. And the chewy sweet tart, you put the whole thing in your mouth, and you would drool down your chin out the corners of your mouth, and it was great.
You have to go to the dollar store to find it, but I do.
I am going to carry this torch. I like candy corn, and I don't care who knows.
Yeah, you and my wife, both huge candy corn fans. Absolutely love it.
We've got to stop being the same person. This is starting to get weird.
Doesn't taste like it's just corn syrup. That's all it is. It's just corn syrup and food coloring.
And
okay. I mean, all right.
Rick, are you pro or anti candy corn?
A couple times a year I'll get a taste for candy corn, like around Halloween, but outside of that I don't really touch it.
It's
you know
also
what else I like?
It's a craving easily put aside too, because you get after your first three pieces of candy corn, you're like, okay, I'm good.
You know what else I like? Those mellow cream pumpkins.
Those are Jay's favorite. He loves those.
Yes. Guess what I'm doing? I'm going to hang out with Jay and have Halloween mellow cream pumpkins. We're going to talk about stuff.
Boy, if you get that in your diet root beer, you got a real party going, don't
How
you?
Do we feel about the various flavors of Tootsie Rolls? Rick, do you have an opinion?
Love them.
Right? Which one's your favorite? Cherry, okay.
I like the vanilla one.
Me too. Yep. Rick, those are so good.
Vanilla Tootsie Rolls are good.
Mike Rankin has never loved anything more on this show than those.
Vanilla flavored Tootsie Rolls.
He used to love the White Sox, but we broke him.
Seriously, that's as excited as he's ever been, I think, for vanilla Tootsie Rolls. But yeah, they're good. My memories of some of the flavored Tootsie Rolls, unfortunately, are they get back to being a very young child. And my cousin's elderly grandfather, Grandpa Harvey, who wore this big, thick leather overcoat, and he would greet you as a child with candies that came from the bottom of his linty front pocket. And they were always sort of body temperature candies, and they were dented or wrinkled or kind of one end was a bit untwisted. He'd be like, here, and I'm like, thank you. And you'd look at it for a little while. It was either like a Brock's Royal maple flavor or one of those flavored cherry Tootsie Rolls. So I guess I got to get over that.
How are we on Sixlets? Because I tried those for the first time.
Oh, awesome!
Only one time.
Sixlets are those are like M&Ms with a super gentle like eggshell outside that you barely have to close your back teeth on to crack.
I did not know those existed until like a year and a half ago. And I had them one time and one time only.
Yeah, I got Sixlets one time as a prize at Tacoma Day Camp in 1977. And I remember thinking, I've never heard of this candy and I love it. And then I didn't see it again for another 10 years.
So wait a second. If I want to bribe Mike Rankin, the way to do this... Tootsies, vanilla Tootsie Rolls?
Really any flavored Tootsies, but specifically the vanilla ones.
What else, Mike?
We could talk about it after the show.
He'll tell you during break. We have Lawrence Holmes coming up next for Transition on the Score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.